Good morning, everybody. Beginning of Parshas Truma, the Torah lists off all the various materials that the Bnei Yisrael had to donate in order to complete the Asiyas HaMishkan. So one of them is Oros Techoshim, the hides from a Tachash animal. And the Gemara in Bama Madlikin, in Masechus Shabbos, makes a comment that it must be that the Tachash was a kosher animal. They have no way of checking today. The Gemara tells us that the Tachash only existed in that generation and it no longer exists today. The Gemara says we have Gemiri, we have a tradition, Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Many say Gemiri is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, perhaps, that Luhukshuru Lamalach Hashamai Malor Behemah Torah Belvad. If the Torah requires that the Or Tachash should be used for the Mishkan, so it must be that it's from a kosher animal. The Gemara says that they cannot write the parshios of Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah on the hide, on the parchment made from the hide of a non-kosher animal. That's, you don't need a halacha Moshe min Sinai for that. That's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says in the parsha of Tefillah, "Lamantia Torah Hashem beficha." So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk means pshuto shel mikra means that the purpose of wearing tefillin, one of the kavanah should be mantiyah taras Hashem efichu ki biyad chazaka atziach Hashem in Mitzrayim, that it's zechel itzias Mitzrayim. But the Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk mantiyah taras Hashem efichu, that the parshios of Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah that contain divrei Torah psukim from Chumash have to be written on parchment that's made from hide, from an amuta beficha, from kosher animals. So the Gemara says that covers the requirement for the cloth, for the parshios, for the Sefer Torah, for the mezuzah, and covers the Bayis Shel Rosh, because the Bayis Shel Rosh has a shin, and the shin is a real ois, Torah Hashem beficha, even if a person just learns one letter of the Chumash, it's also a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Supposed to, if you have time, you're supposed to learn more than one letter, but to learn one letter is also a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the shin and the Bayis Shel Rosh has a status of Divrei Torah as well. But what about the Ritzuis, the Gemara says? How do you know that Ritzuis cannot be made from Or Behema Tameya? So the Gemara says that's based on this Gemiri, this tradition, this Halacha Moshe Mesir, Luhukshu, Lamalach Hashamayim, El Or Behema Tahara Balvad. That's a question. This Luhukshu Lamalech Hashamayim only goes on Tashmishei Kedusha, like the Ritzuis have to do, consider Tashmishei Kedusha. And the Oros Techoshim used for the Mishkan, that's Tashmishei Kedusha. What about the Tashmishei Mitzvah? Let's say the Shofar. Should we declare that a Shofar from a Behemot Tmei is not acceptable because it's Tashmishei Mitzvah, it's not Tashmishei Kedusha? Does this apply? Does this halacha apply to the Shofar that it has to? So there's a Ramah in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, quotes a Ran, not exactly the way it says in the Ran. The Ran on the Rif is Mesupik about this. The Ramah quotes that the Ran said it's no good. Instead of quoting that it's a Sufik, Ramah quotes that it's no good, despite the fact that's where the Torah's Chesed has a long tshuva about this. Despite the fact that the shofar is only Tashmishei Mitzvah, and the same thing, the Rishonim quote the Rabbeinu Tam that there's a machlekes hatanaim in perek mitzvahs chalitza, whether the chalitza shoe has to dafke be made from leather or can be made a wooden shoe or any shoe that protects the foot. If it's only a sock, that doesn't protect the foot, so that's not kosher la chalitza. So it's a shaila for chalitza purposes, and it's a shaila for Yom Kippur, nilas hasandal on Yom Kippur, and a shaila for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is only midirabbanan. Yom Kippur is a question whether all the chamisha inuyim are the rabbanan or the raisa. Achilu shtiyah for sure is the raisa. V'nisim esnaf shesechem. And the Gemara learns out from the pasuk says that this koris anefesh shalos suna v'nichrusa. The Gemara says the koris is only on achilu shtiyah. There's no koris on the other inuyim. So this led the Rishonim to have a whole machlekes, and many of the Bali Ataisas understood there's no curse on the others of the Hamishanim because it's only the Rabbanan. And from the Rambam, the Achrayim say, from the Rambam is mashma derula inuim aderais. So this question, whether the status of a shoe only applies if it's made from leather, or any foot apparel that's protecting the foot, applies to Yom Kippur, perhaps on the level of deraisa. It applies to Shabbos, walking out in the street, is it hoitzoh or not? That's a problematic thing. So only shoes you're allowed to wear. You're allowed to wear socks also. So what's wrong if the shoe doesn't have a din of a shoe? So that's another problem. But this is a shaila in different areas of halacha. And the Makam HaMikdash, you're not allowed to enter with shoes on. So there are Jewish soldiers, the religious Jewish soldiers who stand guard on the Har HaBayis. And the Gemara says, Enronim nichnas lahar HaBayis b'manolim sheberaglov. You're not allowed to wear shoes. So they say that Rav Al Yashiv and the other Rabbonim said that those soldiers who have to stab, no choice, have to stand guard on the Har HaBayis. Everybody's tummy, you're not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. But Mishum Sarkonis Nefosha, so someone has to stand guard out there to make sure that the Arabs don't make any rioting. So they tell them that they should wear sneakers. They shouldn't wear leather shoes. So we assume that that the chalitza shoe has to be made for machmer. The chalitza shoe has to be made from leather. So that's a shayla. The Rishonim quote the Rabbi Natan that how did the Tanoim establish this halacha that it's only considered a nal if it's made from leather, based on the pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu developed right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, he took care of Bnei Yisrael like when a baby is born. So you wash off the baby and you smear on oil and you put on diapers and you put on clothing. And then when the baby gets a little older, Ben Olech Tochash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on little shoes made from leather, from Or Tachash on the babies. So the Gemara learns that the Tanaim will hold that it's only considered a shoe if it's made from leather, is based on that pasuk in Navi Man Olech Tochash. So the Rabbi Natam says, since the Tachash, the Gemara says in Bava Medlikin, that Tachash was Behemoth Tehoira, that it had Mala Gerim Afris Parso, so therefore the Chalitza shoe has to be made from more Behemoth Tehoira. So what is he going to say on Yom Kippur? If the shoes are made from horse leather, then it's mutter to wear it on Yom Kippur. The Pashta says the Rabbi Natam only meant for Chalitza. Didn't mean for kolat, even though the Gemara learns that from that pasuk that kolat terakula, it's only called a naal if it's made from leather. But the Rabbi Natan probably means only for chalitza purposes. Why? Because even though the chalitza shoe is really a tashmish and mitzvah, it's not a tashmish and kedusha. But he assumes, like that ran by Shofar, that even in tashmish and mitzvah, we also assume luhuchshu lemalach hashamayim olar behemat Torah belvad. So that's the story with the tachash. Tosfos in the beginning, the first perek in Brachas on Daf Vav has a machlokes with Rashi regarding kesher shel tefillin. The Gemara says kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So Rashi says that the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim was that you have to have a shin on the bayis shel rosh and you have to have a dalid in the back of the shel rosh and you have to have a yud on the shel yad. So if you put together the three osias, you have shem Hashem, shin dalid yud, one of the zayin shem shein nimchokim. And the Gemara comments on the pasuk in the Teichach of Baruch Kalam in Kisavai, Baruch Kalam Haaretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'Yor Mimeka Ela Tefillin She Barosh. Would he see Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha refers to Tefillin She Barosh? So Rashi says because you have the Shin and the Dalet, you have the Rav of the three Oseas of the Shem Hashem. That's how we know. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and they say that the Tzuras Dalet and the Tzuras Yud, that's only midirabbonim. In our third, the Gemara says kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim has to be a kesher. And the Gemara has in the last perek in Erevin that just like in Hilchos Shabbos, it's only called the kesher if it's kesher shel kayama. So too, the kesher shel tefillin has to be a kesher shel kayama. So in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a machlekes hatanaim towards the end of Shabbos when you have the malacha of kosher machlekes abuda nachachamim, whether aniva, a bow is considered a kesher shel kayama or not. So the Gemara says if the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, that on Shabbos is a melacha daraisa, it has the status of a kesher shel kayama, then a neva would be kosher for the kesher shel tefillin as well. We don't paskan like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskan on neva is not a kesher shel kayama for Shabbos. Doesn't have the status of kesher shel kayama for tefillin either. So the Pashta said, the Gemara, is that all you need is a kesher shel kayama. It doesn't have to have, Menatar doesn't have to have a specific tzura. The fact that we are makbed on tzuras are dalit and tzuras are yud. Tesis holds that that's only by the rabbanon. So they prove it from this gemara and bemadlikim that the gemara says I need this gemiri huchshu l'malach hashamayim v'lohar behem torah belvad. I need this halacha mashem Sinai with respect to the ritzuas, the klaf and the leather that you use to make the Bayis Shel Rosh has to be from Or Behemah Torah. That's because you have Divrei Torah, you have Psukim from Chumash written. And the Bayis Shel Rosh has, you have the letter Shin written. But the Ritzuas, even though you have the Dalet and the Yud, that's not called Oisius, that's not called Taras Hashem. That's why you need the Halacha Moshe Misina Lehuchshu Lamalach Hashemayim. But according to Rashi, that the Dalet and the Yud are also part of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. And because the Shel Rosh has the Rav, has the two out of the three letters, the Shin and the Dalet, from the Shem Shin Dalet Yud. So if Rashi were right, just like the Bayis Shel Rosh is called Toras Hashem Beficha, Menamuta Beficha, so the Ritzuah should also require Or Behema Torah without the Halacha Moshe Messina. It should be based on Toras Hashem Beficha. So that's Tosfos' argument against Rashi. From the Rambam is Rav Elbel Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam, and Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out also when we learn Hilchas Tefillin. He didn't say the name of his uncle, he just said Pshat on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Dalet should be a Keshe B'tzuras Dalet. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik explains it's not that it's a Dalet, it looks like a Dalet. And the Yud, perhaps also, is not as the Shin on the Shel Rosh is a Shin. So that's called Taras Hashem Meficha. But the Dalet and the Yud, maybe they are their Isa, but it's not a din that you need an Isa. It's a din, a Keshe B'tzuras Isa. It should look like an Isa. Yeah, so Rav Elbel Soloveitchik adds on this. Rav Soloveitchik did not mention. Rav Elbel Soloveitchik adds on that the Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk for Isa Sachairai, a fun Eilai Ro. If you walk behind someone who's wearing tefillin, so be able to see the Keshe Shel Rosh. That's what the Gemara interprets for Isa Sachairai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu at Keshe Shel Rosh. Why do you have to show him? He knows what a Dalet looks like. He should have said, you make a Dalet, you make a Keshe that should be a Dalet. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik comments on all those Gemaras. The Gemara Menachos has all the cases together. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu something, and Moshe Rabbeinu showed Bnei Yisrael, Zelechem Atomei. Moshe Rabbeinu picked up every animal he showed him. Zelechem Atomei, this is a non-kosher animal. This is a kosher animal. So whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating, visually demonstrating, and Moshe Rabbeinu is demonstrating, it's a din of what it looks like. It's not a din of what it really is, it's a din of what it looks like. So that's what Rav Elbel suggested, that the Rambam wrote that it should be a Keshe B'tzuras Dalet. It's not that it's a Dalet. The Shin on the Shel Rosh is truly a Shin. So that has the Pasuk Taras Hashem Eficha Men Amuta Beficha. But the Dalet and the Yud could be that they're both Ksharim, B'tzuras Dalet and B'tzuras Yud. Rav Elbel Soloveitchik explained also that perhaps that that explains why Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, this Kasha Moshe Basiyas HaMenorah. Moshe found it difficult to make the Menorah. So many different details, Gvim, Kaftorim, Aprochim. So he found it too difficult to make it exactly the way he was supposed to. So he just threw all of the gold into the fire and it happened by itself. There's a Rashi on Chumash quotes. The menorah happened by itself. So what was so difficult to make? You make Gvim, Kaftorim, Aprochim, what's so hard? Rav Elbel Soloveitchik said, no, but the Pasuk says, Kamarashe HaResa Bahor. There was a Hirah Shah only in that generation. When the Hashmonai made the menorah later, and when Shlomo HaMelech made the 10 different menorahs, when he made all the menorahs, Ladoris, there was no such Hirah Shah. There was a din, it has to be somebody Gvim, Kaftorim, Aprochim, and it has to look okay. We know how many kanim it has to have and so on. But that it should look exactly Kamar Asher HaResa Bahor, that was only Hirah Shah in that generation. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha. How can I make it exactly the way it looked every time he was trying to figure it out? He can't make exact Kamar Asher HaResa Bahor. So that was too difficult. But Ladoris, you don't have such a din. And then Rav Elbel Soloveitchik explained also this I never heard from Rav Soloveitchik. The Rambam learns in the Gemara in Psochim, the Gemara in Makkos, Ochel Putisa Loika Arba, Nemola Loika Chomesh, Tzira Loika Sheish, that if you eat non-kosher shrotzim, Sometimes you get six times Malkus. Fish, some of the fish. I remember once we were sitting at a wedding, so they were serving flesh. So one of the Rabbanim from the yeshiva, one of the rabbis, didn't want to risk it on the flesh, so he said he wants chicken. And one of the other Rabbanim said he wants fish. He didn't want to trust the Hashgacha on the chicken either. He wanted fish. So Rabbi Tendler was there. Rabbi Tendler has a very good sense of humor. So he said, I would rather risk it on the chicken than on the fish, because the Gemara says sometimes you eat treif of fish, you get six times malchus. On chicken, you only get once malchus. But if the fish is treif, then you get six times malchus. So the fish is more dangerous, more risky than if it's treif of fish. It's kosher fish, you don't get malchus at all. It's treif of fish. So what are the six malchus all about? So Rashi and Tosfos and the Gaonim and the Ramban, most of the Rishonim and the Gaonim, they all assume that on a kefal alav you get many times malchus. So the pasuk says, "Not teach sheres hamayim." So it's a repeat. The same pasuk appears several times. Get many times malchus. That's why Tosfos has the kasha on the opening mishnah in Tmura. It says if a person violates Tmura, so he's sofik as harboim, he gets malchus once. So Tosfos has the kasha. Why doesn't he get malchus twice? He have two lavim lo yachlifenu. So Ravelbel Soloveitchik points out that according to the Rambam, who writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that a Kefal HaMitzvah is not counted twice. It's just written for emphasis, for Chizuk, but you don't get twice Malkus, and it's only counted once in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So according to the Rambam, there's no kasha. He doesn't have to work on Tosis kasha. A Kefal Alav is only loike once. So the... So the Rambam has to explain why he gets so many malchus. So the Rambam says there's a lav if it's sheretz hamayim, if it swims. There's a lav on sheretz ha'oif if it flies. There's a lav on sheretz ha'oif if it crawls on the ground. What if it, and then, so that's only three lavim. So then the Rambam has, there's another lav on shrotzim that is spontaneously generated. He's quoting the Tanaim, say like that, in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Sefirot. And then the Rambam adds on in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and don't tell me that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. Louis Pasteur proved that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. So he says, no, anybody who knows the ABC of science knows that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So I remember when I took Professor Soloveitchik for chemistry in college, so he was telling us that the Rabbanim felt very bad that Pasteur proved there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. But under the communists commissioned the scientists to disprove Louis Pasteur, because the communists didn't believe in God. That's Bishita, they didn't believe. So you don't believe in God. If life can't come, if there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, you have to believe that there's a God who brought about life and human beings and animals and a fish and everything. So the communists, al pi hashkafa, can't have to believe in spontaneous generation. So they commissioned their scientists to disprove Pasteur. So for money, you can accomplish anything. So they proved that Pasteur was wrong. So some of the Rabbanim went dancing from joy. Oh, we finally saved the Rambam. That the Rambam makes fun of anybody who doesn't believe in spontaneous generation. And the world of science says that that's an ABC of science, that there's no spontaneous generation. So now the communist scientists prove that it is good. So I remember Professor Soloveitchik said, Och and vey, that we have to rely on the apikursische, on the communist scientists. They had to prove that Pasteur is wrong in order to be mekayim their apikursus. They don't want to believe in God. We're not going to be happy over the fact that we're saving the Rambam because of these apikursim. Anyway, so the Ravid is massing on the Rambam. This Rambam is in the Sefer HaMitzvah, and the Rambam is in Mishnah Torah as well. So the Ravid on the Mishnah Torah, I think it's Perek Aleph and Ilchos Macholos Asuris. So the Ravid is massing on the Rambam. What do you mean you get three times Malka, Sheretz Ha'aretz, Sheretz Ha'if, Sheretz Ha'mayim, because it flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground. But biologically, scientifically, it's either a fish or it's a bird or it's a Sheretz Ha'aretz. It can't be that it's all three. So the Ravid makes fun of the Rambam. He calls him a collector because the Rambam put together all the Gemaras and all the Yerushalmis and all the Sefer Michilta, everything, and he put everything in order. So he makes fun of the Rambam. The Rambam collected things that don't exist. There is no such animal that it flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground. What? No such animal? The Rambam says there is such an animal. So Ravelbel Soloveitchik said, no, the Rambam, the Ravid's kasha is that scientifically it's either Sheretz Oif, it's not all three. Either basically it swims, or basically it flies, or basically it crawls on the ground. So Abdelbaba said that's maybe the Rambam holds it, because Zelachem Atamim, Moshe Abdena picked up every animal and he said, this is Oif, this is Muta. Why do you have to pick it up? Just say, Malager, Mafis Parsa. And if it has the simonim, the Mishnah tells you what the simonim are to determine whether any given bird is kosher atreif. So follow the simonim. By fish, you have snapper, by kaskesis, by oifus, you have simonim, by behemus, you have simonim. So the answer is, it's not enough that it depends on simonim. It depends on what it looks like. So if it, the Ravid says there are some birds that swim a little bit, but basically they're birds, they're not fish. So the Rama holds, no, since that's what it looks like, it looks as if it swims, so it has a din of Sheretz HaMaim also, and it looks like it flies a little bit, has a din of Sheretz HaIf also, even though basically, scientifically, it wouldn't be classified as a bird, it wouldn't be classified as a fish. And he explained all the other dinim as well. Whenever the Gemara says, Her HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mat Be'er Shalesh, every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed something to Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated to Bnei Yisrael, Babylon Soloveitchik suggests that maybe it's a din, according to this Rambam, maybe the Rambam holds that it depends on what it looks like. It doesn't really depend on what it really is. Anyway, that's the beginning of the parsha, that we're supposed to donate Oros to Hashem for the cover on top of the Mishkan, that it shouldn't rain in. What was the tachlis of the building of the Mishkan? So there's a Dimir Ezra on Chumash. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out that just like when the Isha HaShunamis invited Elisha HaNavi to stay by her, so she made a separate room, Aliyas Kir Kitana, and she had in the room Mita V'Shulchan Menorah V'Chisei in order to fulfill Hachnasas Sarchim. So too, the whole purpose of the Mishkan is to have Hachnasas Sarchim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a human being sometimes sleeps and sometimes sits on a chair. So you have to have a Mita and you have to have a Kisei. The Rebbeinu Shlom is not resting and he's not sitting on a chair. He does need two. So all you need is one. So you have the Oran is for the Hashuas Hashchina. That's the Hinei Mitosu Shadu Shlaimai. Then you have the Shulchan and then you have the Menorah. All you need are the three Kalim for Hachnasas Sarchim. I think the Ben Ezra says, how come if one should, we usually assume the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira, the purpose of the mitzvah, the old tachlis of the mitzvah, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, is to be able to bring korbanos. So how come one would have thought that you would have the Mizbeach right away? That's the main purpose of Beis HaMikdash. So the Ben Ezra says, no, Mizbeach is that's a secondary purpose. That's at the end of the Tzava. It's not right in the beginning. So apparently that's not the main purpose. Main purpose is to have Hachnasas Orchem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should visit by us. Okay. There's such a medrash. The medrash says that Moshe LeMelech, who has only one daughter, Bas Yechida, and the Melech is going to marry her off to a prince from another Medina. And then she's going to go live with her husband in the other Medina. So the Melech feels bad. This is Bas Yechida, the only daughter that he has. So he says, wherever you go with your husband, always have in your apartment a room for me in case I want to come and visit. If I'll miss my daughter, I want to come and visit. So too, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Bnei Yisrael the Torah, and the Torah is his daughter. He loves, just like a parent loves a child, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Torah. So he wants us to make a Beis HaMikdash, a Mokam, to house the the Luchos. That's his daughter. So the way the Moshal of the Medrash, Moshal HaMelech, he says, he tells his daughter, when you get married, wherever you go, always have a room, an extra room for me, in case I want to come and visit. Sounds as if, like the Ben Ezraites, as if the main purpose of the Asiyas HaMishkan is to do Hachnasas Sarchem for the Shechina. But the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBchira, writes, we need the purpose of building a Beis HaMikdash is to be Makar of Karbonis, and to visit, to be Oyla Regal on Sholosh Regolim, and also to Davin, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he offered a tefillah. The tefillah appears both in Sefer Melachim and in Sefer Dira Yamim. the slight discrepancies between the Nusach HaTfilah as it appears in Malach and the Dirayam, but he doesn't say a word about Hakrabas HaKarbonis. He just says about Tfilah. The Rabban Shalom made, the Rabban Shalom told us to make, I listened to your mitzvah, I made a Beis HaMikdash, and the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is if there'll be a famine, if there'll be an epidemic, if there'll be a flood, if there'll be war, the nation will come to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jews should come to daven. The non-Jews should come to daven to the God of the Jewish people, not that they should daven to Yoshka. All the nations of the world should come. If it's an individual who has a sichsich with his neighbor, they should come to daven. So Moshe, so Shlomo HaMelech only talks about davening. Yeah, and he says that the three psukim is Bado Alecha, Derech HaBayis HaZeh. Either they should come to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, or if they're davening outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Derech HaBayis HaZeh, they should face the Beis HaMikdash. Then he says, Yisbal Alecha Derech Ho'ir HaZos, Yisbal Alecha Derech Artsom. So the Gemara says, if a person is in davening in Yerushalayim, then he should face the Beis HaMikdash. Davening outside of Yerushalayim, let him just face Yerushalayim. He doesn't have to face that part of Yerushalayim where the Beis HaMikdash is. And if he's in Chutz L'Arts, he doesn't have to face Yerushalayim. Let him just face Eretz Yisrael. Yisbal Alecha Derech Artsom. Yeah, why is that? Apparently, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's the Mishnah in Perek Aleph and Kelim. It says, Esek Kedushas saying there are 10 levels of Kedushas Mokoim. So the Mishnah says, Eretz Yisrael Mekudashas Mikol HaRotzes. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz L'Arts. So if we would be writing the Mishka, and then every step of the way, every step of the Esek Kedushas, Mishnah gives you a nafkamina ledina. Because Kedusha is not just an abstract concept, what they call in modern Hebrew. Kedusha arti lois, abstract Kedusha. Kedusha is nagel la'halacha. The tefillin have Kedusha, so it's kosher to fulfill the mitzvah. So it's Eretzom Kedushas, Mikol HaRotzes. Instead of saying that you have the mitzvah, Satrumas and Mises, Leket Shikrapeya, Shmita V'yoyvel, it gives the most obscure din that most people never heard of. That for all other menachas, the tvua does not have to have been grown in Eretz Yisrael, but the oimer has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael, and the shtei alechem has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. So why the Mishnah quote that? And then there are two girsas within the Mishnah. Does say bikurim or does not say bikurim? Mishnah has bikurim, and the Gro crosses it out, because in the other sources, in the Sifrei Zuta, Bamidba begins with the Esek Kedushas. So there are discrepancies, slight discrepancies between the Esek Kedushas appears in the Sifrei Zuta and the way it appears in the Mishnayos. So Rabbi Menachem Zembe had a chaver. Menachem Zembe was a businessman. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. So they had at that time, they had a chevra of Poilushe Goinim Adirim. They knew all the Yerushalmis and all the Arsamechs and all the Ragat Shavas. They knew everything there was to know. They knew Kalat Harkula, but they were businessmen. So one of his chaverim, who was a businessman, Yoskevich, I think his name was putting out the Sifrei Zuta with Haoris. The Haoris are called Ambuah, the Sifrei, very Goinish, Shemar Mekaimis, fantastic Iluyas. So he asked Rabbi Menachem Zembe if he wants to give some Haoris before he goes to print. So he gave him a whole kuntres. I think it's almost 100 pages long. I think it's over 90 pages. That's called the Oitzer HaSifrei. So the Oitzer HaSifrei is just to explain why there are discrepancies between the listing of the Esek Kedushas as it appears in Perek Aleph and Mishnayos Kelim, and as it appears in the Sifrei Zuta, the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. So he discusses this Bir Agro. He says the same as Rav Soloveitchik. They both say this. I don't think Rav Soloveitchik never quoted it from Rav Menachem Zembe, but he said the exact same thing. The Esek Kedushas are not stam 10 levels of Kedushas Mokoim in the world. It means it's 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. So it means Eretz Yisrael has a Kedushas HaOretz, and that's why, because it has Kedushas HaOretz, it's Chayv and Mitzvah HaKlis Baretz. Agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah Esek Kedushas is driving at a different point. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Where do you see that? So that you see because the Oimer Shtei Alechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they don't plant anything. There's no farm over there. So all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's why the Mishnah only says, Shemivim Menu Oimer Shtei Alechem. And whether it should say Bikurim or not, that depends on the two opinions in Tosfos and Bava Basra Daf Pei Aleph, whether Bikurim is a mitzvah tlui baritz or not. If it's a mitzvah tlui baritz, then it doesn't belong over here. because the Mishnah didn't say Eretzon Mikudesh is because Haratzes that Yechayv on that Kedushik Chaper Chumas and Maisa Shmita Biyovel. That's Mitzvah Satlis Baretz. That's because of Kedusha Saretz, not because Eretzon has a lower level of Kedusha Samigdosh. So those are the two girsas, whether it does say Bikurim or not, whether Bikurim is a Mitzvah Tli Baretz or it's something different, namely that all of Eretzel has a lower level of Kedusha Samigdosh, and the Omer Shtar Lechem have to have grown in the Beis Hamikdash. So a Chodishdik idea. And all the other levels also, all the other Esek Kedushas. So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out. You look in the Rambam in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Tefillah, the Rambam starts off with the Chiddush, that Tefillah is a mitzvah min HaTorah once a day, every day. When the Gemara says Tefillah is only the Rabbanon, that the Rambam said that means the Nusach HaTefillah, that you have a particular text that's only with the Rabbanon. Kriya Shema has a Nusach min HaTorah. And when you have Mikra Bikurim, you have to say the text that appears in the Chumash. Sfira Salam has no text in the Chumash. You can say in any language. You can say in any arrangement, as long as you say the Sfira Salam. So the... What were we talking about? I lost my trend of thought.
Sfira Soimer
has a text. Yeah, but what was I talking about before that?
When Rambam holds tefillas d'oraisa once a day, every day.
You said the Rambam says that the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash was to bring korbanos.
Right, so the Rambam writes that Tefillah doesn't have a text. Min HaTorah, there's no text. Mid the Rabbanan. Tefillah the Rabbanan means that particular text is Mid the Rabbanan. Then the Rambam says the fact that you daven three times a day, four times a day, five times a day, Yom Kippur, you say Nila, Musa, that's Mid the Rabbanan. But Min HaTorah, you're obligated to daven once a day, every day. So first the Rambam writes what the dinim deraisa were, and then he says, and then the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah instituted tefillah three times a day, musaf and nila and more. So when the Rambam lists off what used to be the din deraisa before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah added on more, one of the dinim deraisa is you should daven nechach hamikdash, you should face the Beis Hamikdash. We know that from tefillah Shlaim HaMelech. Shlaim HaMelech said, v'spada alecha derech habayis hazeh, they should face the Beis Hamikdash, face Yerushalayim. Well, where did the Rambam see that in Chumash? That's a din deraisa. Shlomo HaMelech said that in his tefillah. So the Netziv on Chumash, Rav Soloveitchik said over, the Netziv on Chumash interprets in the pasuk l'shichna sidrushu uvas hashama. So he interprets, maybe that's what it means. Sidrushu means you should pray in the Beis Hamikdash, pray l'shichna facing the Beis Hamikdash. Nochach Hamikdash. That's where Rav Soloveitchik would encourage Rabbanim who are building a new shul that they should be careful about having the Aron Kodesh in Mizrach, so everyone will be facing Eretz Yisrael. He said that from the Rambam would appear that it's a real din deraisa. Even if it's only the Rabbanim should also be careful. But he would emphasize the fact that according to the Rambam, it's a real din deraisa. You have to face Eretz Yisrael. I remember there was I used to give a weekly shiur in Paramus for many years. So one of the mishtatfim in the shir didn't daven in the shul where I was officially the rabbi. He davened in the other Orthodox shul, but he used to come to the weekly shir. He was a musbach in the yeshiva, and he was, I think, in business, but he had served in the American army as a chaplain. He was a Jewish chaplain in Casablanca. So he said he told us, but we're learning Gemara, he told us there's a shul in Casablanca where the Aron Kodesh does not face Eretz Yisrael. When it comes time to the Teshman Esrei, all the people in the shul turn to the side, and they all face Eretz Yisrael. So I remember a few years ago in the summertime, we were touring in Morocco. So we were sitting in the shul, in one of the several shuls in Casablanca. It's still being used. There aren't too many Jews there, but the shul is still being used. So we had a tour guide who was giving us a lecture. We were sitting in the shul. So I asked him, is there a shul in Casablanca? They told me there's a shul where when it comes to the Shemoneh Esrei, everybody turns to this. I say, yeah, that's the shul you're sitting in now. And the doors were on the right side. They're in Kurdish, was straight ahead, and the doors were on the right side. I said, when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, everybody turns 90 degrees to the right, and they face Eretz Yisrael. That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in the first perek in Brochas. Rashi says the din is supposed to face the Yoron Kodesh. So Rashi says, and if someone is davening outside of the shul, so all the people in the shul daven in this direction facing the Yoron Kodesh, the fellow outside of the shul faces the opposite direction because he should face the Yoron Kodesh. So everybody's facing this way, and the fellow davening outside faces the opposite direction. And Tosfos says, what do you mean? Mechzik ishtei rishuyas. It looks as if they're worshiping two different gods. He's facing that direction, the opposite from everybody in the shul. So Tosfos says, there is no such din that you're supposed to face the Yoron Kodesh. You're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. So you should put, and the Mishnah Berurah raises that issue, what should we do if the shul doesn't have the Yoron Kodesh in Mizrach? Are you supposed to face, should you follow Rashi, should you follow Tosfos? The Netziv has such a tshuva. So the Netziv basically says, should you follow Tosfos? You should face Eretz, shouldn't face where the Yoron Kodesh is. I remember there was a Talmid Chacham who was visiting in America one year. He was living in my apartment. He needed some money, so he agreed to teach. He taught the Talmud, I think in Bar Ilan, or Hebrew University, I don't remember. He had learned in Europe, he learned in Kelem. We were sitting in the Sukkah together, so he was telling us Echreinus from Daniel. Mavshavitz was, I think, the head of the Talmud Torah. The kollel there in Kelem. So he was very disappointed here in the neighborhood. A lot of the shuls, they don't daven facing Eretz Yisrael. They all daven facing the Yoron Kodesh, which is in a different direction. So every week he went to a different shul till he finally found one shul where he could daven normally. He's very upset about that. Yeah, so that's what Shlomo HaMelech emphasizes, that it seems that in his mind, the ikar of the Beis HaMikdash is kibese beis tefila yikare l'cholo amim, a beis tefila, that everyone should come and daven there. The pasuk in Yecheskel HaNavi was before the Churban Bayis Rishon and then during and after the Churban Bayis Rishon. So Yecheskel HaNavi says that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, the Jewish people will be sent into Golos. They won't have a Beis HaMikdash, but they will have the miniature Beis HaMikdash. We will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash in Bavel. What Mikdash Miyat are we going to have? So the Gemara says, the end of Megillah says, but you're going to see us at Bata Midrash HaShem in Bavel. Yeah, so that's the whole, just like there's a din of Mikdash, Yitiro, Moira HaMikdash. So there's a din of Kovid Beis HaKnesses. It's not Moira. Moira means Kovid square, extra degree. Because the Beis HaKnesses only a miniature Beis HaMikdash, it's only a Chi of Kovid. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the real Beis HaMikdash, that is an extra degree of Kovid, so we call that Moira HaMikdash. So most of the poskim assume, like the Ran, that the Kovid Beis HaKnesses is only Midarabon, Moira HaMikdash, Poskim and Chumash, Mikdoshi Tiro, that you're not allowed to walk in with your shoes on and so on. But the Kavod Beis HaKnesses, the Ran says that that pasuk Mikdash Miyat, that it refers to but the Knesset, but Rosh Hashanah. The Ran on Megillah, the Ran on the Rif on Megillah says that it's only Midrabanan. Chayodam complains about the fact that when a Talmud Chochma died, they would bring the Oren into the Beis HaKnesses to deliver a hespit. So he says, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, you're only permitted to bring the Oren into the Beis HaKnesses if it's a Gaon ve'aluf. The one who passed away was an unusually great Talmud Chacham. He says, "My mechutin, the Vilna Gaon." That's what he writes. It wasn't exactly. I think it was a mechutin of one of the children of the Vilna Gaon, but it sounds better to say "My mechutin, the Vilna Gaon." My mechutin, the Vilna Gaon. He died. He was gone baluf. That's mutter to take the body into the Beis HaKnesses. But usually, it's not allowed. So he encourages people to be machma whenever there's any suffix covered Beis HaKnesses. You shouldn't follow the poskim lahokel based on the Ran that covered Beis HaKnesses only with the Rabbanan and the whole drosha from the posik Mikdash Me'at Asmachta. So the Chayodim quotes from the Sefer Yireim by Rabbi Lezer Mimitz, who holds that a Mikdash Me'at is a real din deraisa. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say over an idea that I saw Achreinim have this idea. The Rambam seems to hold also like that Chayodim, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is deraisa. How do we see? So the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah. those of us who don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. But then the Rambam himself wrote the Minyan HaMitzvah Spiktsor in Hebrew that appears in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. So he doesn't have this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, doesn't have this in the Mishnah Torah, but he has it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs Spiktsorah. When he has the law of Minyan HaMitzvah, just mamash, two lines. The Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has a little paragraph usually on each mitzvah. Minyan HaMitzvahs Spiktsorah, he has mamash, two lines, Bikitz and Nimrats. When he has the law, L'Sas and Kein L'Hashem Elokechem, Asor L'Noitet Seven Min HaMizbeach. So the Rambam says, Noitet Seven Min HaMizbeach, HaMibes HaKnesses, HaMibes HaMedrash. So he puts it into the definition of the Din Deraisa. So that's what the Stechemet quotes a few Achrayim. Rav Soloveitchik said also like that. It would appear from that Rambam that the covered that the Din of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is a Din Deraisa, that one will be in violation of the law, the Sasan Kehem L'Sham L'Kechem, if it will be Noitet Seven, Mi Beis HaMedrash, Mi Beis HaKnesses. That's what the Galia Masechta is a Tshuva Sefer, Bar Abdovid Navardika. So in the Galia Masechta, he called, the Gemara says in Erevin, the Gemara says on the two psukim, "Vahi David achol d'racha maskal Hashem imay," that David HaMelech was always successful in paskening shaylos correctly. And Shaul HaMelech, "Vahi Shaul b'chol d'racha of Marshia," that Shaul HaMelech was not as successful as David in paskening halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara says, "How come? How come David is more successful?" So the Gemara says, because David was Galya Masechta, and Shaul HaMelech was Lord Galya Masechta. What does that mean, Galya Masechta? That's different interpretations. So the Meiri has a pshat over there, Galya Masechta. He would give Mar Mekomis in advance to the Talmidim before he said the Shir. So they would be all prepared. So when he would say the Shir, they would be able to argue with him. So then when there's Masa Matan, when the Talmidim are prepared in advance, because he told them what to look up, I usually don't know what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, so I don't give marmakimus. But more correct is that you should give marmakimus. So that's how the Meiri learns pshat gali masech. The Rashi learns differently. Other Rishonim learn different pshat. And what is mei gali masech? So David on Navarnik, his name was David, so he felt that his tshuvas are gevaldik. So he calls his tshuvas gali masech. He thinks that he writes in some of the tshuvas, when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, the Rambam is going to give him a big yashikach. He's the first one who gave the correct pshat in the Rambam. He's very convinced that his pshatim were correct. Anyway, so the Galia Masechta writes in his sefer, he thinks that just like there's a mitzvah, the Ramban holds that this is one of the Taryag mitzvahs, the Ramban al Atar, the end of Parshas Noso, and the Ramban as well, and in Sefer HaMitzvah, whenever you happen to build a Beis HaMikdosh, we haven't built so many Bat HaMikdoshes. Days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they made the Mishkan and the Midbar, then they made a Mishkan Shiloh, then they made the Yerushalayim, okay? But then, so the Rambam writes, whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to celebrate. How many days you celebrate, and how many korbanos you eat, you bring, and which chazan should sing, which nigun, with how many people in the choir, and who should give a shir, who should give a drasha, that's harasha, that you work out the details. But in principle, there's a dimin haTorah. There's a dimin haTorah you're mechuyav to celebrate whenever you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Galia Masechta suggests that, according to those who b'shanim behold, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is the Raisa, so there'll be a chiyav min haTorah. Whenever you complete the building of a shul or a yeshiva, so you have to celebrate. You're obligated to celebrate because it's a din of Beis HaMikdash, min haTorah. It's a real din min haTorah. We assume that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there were different sections. There was Harabayis, Kedushas Harabayis, and then there was Kedushas HaZara, then there's Kedushas Heichal, then Kedushas Kedusha Kadoshim, different levels of Kedusha. So in the Beis HaKnesses also, there are different sections, have different levels of Kedusha. So take, for example, the Ezras Noshim never had Kedushas HaZara. It only had Kedushas Harabayis. So Rashi writes a few places, I think, in the Gemara, a few times Rashi writes, because we have a din, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara Ela L'Malchei Bez David Bovad. You're not allowed to sit down in the Azara. You have to stand. So the women are often pregnant and nursing, so it's uncomfortable for them to stand. So the Chacham wanted to make it easier for the women to come to the Beis HaMikdash, so they only gave Kedushas Harabayis to the Ezras Noshim. They didn't give Kedushas HaZara. the Azara has a Kedusha, Azara Sadaka, the man, whoever is not able to stand on his own, and now I can't go to the Azara. So Rav Meir Shapiro, Zichron Lebracha, the one who founded the Lublin Yeshiva, has a volume of tshuvas. So I think it's the very last tshuva he discusses what's the status of the rooftop of a shul. Does it have Kedusha or not? So in Shulchan Aruch it says it does not have Kedusha because Gagam Aliyah's line is Katshum, because the Kedusha in the Beis HaKnesses is patterned after the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Mikdash Miyat. So just like in Beis HaMikdash, Gagam Aliyah's line is Katshum, so too in the Beis HaMikdash also not. But there's a problem that Achreinim asked. There's a Mishnah Megillah that talks about a building that used to be a shul. Are you allowed to use the rooftop? Do you say kitchalosilov? It's no longer used as a shul. Do you say kitchalosilov? So you're not allowed to use the rooftop to manufacture nets for divrei chol or not? But if you, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, gagam aliyos lo niskachu, so the even bibinyonai you can use the rooftop for divrei chol. So what's the Mishnah talking about? So Rav Meir Shapiro. And everything was Bikias with Lishitosa. So he says, I think he says the Mishnah is Reb Yudah speaking. Reb Yudah holds that the davening is Muchuvin Keneged Ktoris. And the other Tanaim say no, the davening and the Ktoris is brought in the Hechal on the Mizbach Ktoris. And the other Tanaim disagree. They say no, the Zman of the davening is Muchuvin Keneged Akrobus Akabonis in the Azora. So Gagam Aliyas Lenis Kachu, that goes on the gag of the Beis HaMikdash, on the gag of the Azor, but the gag of the Hechel, the Gemara says, was Niskadish. So Reb Yudah goes Lushitosa. The Mishnah Megillah that says, according, it's Reb Yudah speaking, that the gag may not, the gag of the Beis HaKnesses may not be used for Divrei Chol, that's Lushitosa, that he holds that the davening is Mechulin Keneged Haktoras. Haktoras, Haktoras, that was in the Hechel, so the gag of the Beis HaKnesses, we should treat it as if it is Niskadish. Then he quotes the Tshuva Zarambam, that the Rambam writes that the location where you have the Aron Kodesh, you're not allowed to use that area directly above for Divrei Chol. Why? Because the Aron Kodesh is Mechulin Keneged the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aron Kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gag was Neskadosh. So the area directly above an Aron Kodesh in the shul, that area should be treated that it is Niskadosh. The poskim assume that the different parts of the shul are mechuvin keneged the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. Like we said, the Ezros Nashim in the shul is mechuvin keneged the Ezros Nashim in the Beis HaMikdash, which had a lower level of kedusha than the Azara. The Azara had a kedusha Azara. The Ezros Nashim only had kedusha Zara Bais. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the classical poskim, that let's say you realize after a while you just built a new shul, and then you realize that the men's section is all crowded in, the women's section is much bigger than you needed. There aren't so many women coming to shul. No, the reverse. Let's say you realize that the women's section is too crowded and there's empty room in the men's section. Are you permitted to convert part of the men's section to make it into the women's section? All the classical poskim say that that's a violation of Malam HaKodesh V'loi Maridin, that you're not allowed to convert the men's section into a women's section because you're lowering the level of the Kedusha. You're not allowed to do that. So what do you do? So Rav Salvechik said over, they asked him, Aloch HaLamayisah, comes from Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, who just passed away, when he first built his new shul, his young Israel. So after a couple of months, they realized that they made the women's section too small. So they wanted to convert part of the men's section to use it for women. So yes, Rav Soloveitchik, what should he do? So he told him right away to do what the classical poskim say. You have to cordon off part of the men's section. They should stop davening there. And the Ramban says once you stop davening, once you no longer use the Ramban holds that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is only Tashmishei Mitzvah. And after that, he disagrees with all of those who show him a hold that it's a Mikdash Meyat. He says it's not a Tashmishi Kedusha, it's a Tashmishi Mitzvah. And Tashmish and Mitzvah, after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, is Nizrakim. The whole Kedusha disappears by itself. The Esrog is Tashmish and Mitzvah. So after Sukkot is over, you can throw the Esrog in the garbage. And all the dinim that the Gemara says, if all the Jews moved away from the community and no one davens in the shul, so then you're not allowed to use the shul for Dibrei Chol. You have to, the Zayin Tuvihir, B'mai Menan Shuri, have to sell the shul. And then the money is nitfas bigdusha. You have to use the money to buy sifrei Torah and so on. And then you can moitzi the shul to the lechulin. So that's all midirabbanim, the Ramban says. But first you have to wait and know that everyone should stop davening in the shul. So that's what the poskim say, all the poskim say. If it turns out you have to convert part of the men's section into a women's section, so first you cordon it off a couple of weeks and you don't use it at all. You're not using it at all, so the kedusha goes off. And then with the Rabbanan, you have to sell it. So the Zayin Tuvi here, the Maimon Anshia, should sell it to someone, then buy it back and designate it as an Ezros Nosh. Yeah, that's how they did. Most of the other Rishonim, the Ran, disagrees. The Ran on Megillah and the Rif. The Ran on the Rif Megillah quotes the Ramban. Ramban is in a few places, he has it. And the Mamadlikin and the Megillah in a third place. The Ramban in a few places has this. But most of the poskim hold like the Ran, that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is a Migdash Miyad. Everything is patterned after the Beis HaMigdash. And it's a Tashmisha Kedusha. It's not a Tashmisha Mitzvah. What is the main difference? How did the Chachamim determine what's a Tashmisha Kedusha, what's a Tashmisha Mitzvah? So the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Voloshiner, suggests, Rav Soloveitcher once gave a whole Yahrzeit Rasha based on that assumption, that a Tashmisha Kedusha acquires its Kedusha from the fact that it has Dibrei Torah written there. So if Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah have Kedusha, or in Kodesh is a Tashmisha Kedusha, okay? Because it's Mishamish, Mentale is Mishamish, a Sefer Torah. So that's Tashmisha Kedusha. But Tzitzis is only a Tashmisha Mitzvah, Samdu Shal Chalitza. You have no Psukim written over there. Esreg, Lula, Psukim, this is Tashmisha Mitzvah. You have no Psukim written there. So Rav Soloveitchik developed the theme. So what about Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash is Tashmisha Kedusha. So he said, because you have the Oren there. You have the Oren Abris. I, but in the Bais Sheni, the Mishnah says the Oren wasn't there. The Psukim said the Rayamim. Towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Luchas. He put it in the basement. So the Rambam writes that when David HaMelech gave, when the Novi gave David HaMelech, he gave David HaMelech the Megillah B'Ksav, Megillah's Beis HaMikdash. So that was incorporated in the original plans, in the blueprint of the Beis Rishon, that there should be a chamber in the basement to put the Luchas when the time comes. So Yoshua HaMelech felt, why did he think the time came? That's another discussion. The Pasuk in Dibrei Hayom gives you a reason. Why? What motivated Yoshua HaMelech to put in the basement? He wasn't afraid that the Goyim, he wasn't yet afraid the Goyim are going to come and take it. The Pasuk says something and it's obscure. So then Nitziv talks about that in his Hagdamah to his commentary on the Shiltas. There's all original interpretation, but whatever. So the Rabbam writes that even after they put the Luchas in the basement, the Beis HaMikdash had Luchas, because that was part of the original blueprint, as Hakol B'Ksav Me'ar Hashem Alai Haskel, that sometimes you have the Luchas upstairs in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, sometimes you have it downstairs in the basement. Where were the Luchas during Bais Sheni? So the Gemara has in Yuma around Daphne and Besa, so the Gemara has three different opinions among the Tanoim, and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah takes a stand on a historical machloikis. The Rambam writes, he adopted that position that the whole Bais Sheni, the Luchas were in the same place, in the underground chamber, the same place where it was where Yoshua HaMelech put it. So Rav Soloveitcher gives, why does the Rambam take a stand on a historical machloikas? In the Mishnah Torah, is only for halachas, maybe in the Mar Nebuchadnezzar, but what is he writing over here? So he said he had the impression as if the Rambam felt that the machloikas HaTanoim was a machloikas in history, but a little bit of machloikas in halacha also, that the Rambam adopted that position because that's a machlokes in halacha. Is it conceivable to have a Beis HaMikdash without luchas? And the Rambam held, no, it's inconceivable, because the whole yisoid of Beis HaMikdash is Tashmisha Kedusha, and the Rav Chaim Voloshiner gives the yisoid Tashmisha Kedusha is something that has to do with Torah Shebichzav. you have to have some Torah Shemichsav. So it must be that that the luchas were there in the basement. So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out from the Rambam in Hilchas Tefila, Perikud Beis on Hilchas Tefila, he gives all the dinim of kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So from the Rambam, you get the impression that if you have a shul that doesn't have an Aron Kodesh with a Sefer Torah, doesn't have a kedushas Beis HaKnesses. According to the Ramban holds that the kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is only the level of Tashmishei Mitzvah. Beis HaKnesses is a location that enables you to daven better. Doesn't enable you to daven. You can daven a home without a Beis HaKnesses, but it helps you daven better. So the Ramban writes that that's called the Tashmishei Mitzvah. It enables you to daven better. But the other Rishonim hold, no, it's a Tashmishei Kedusha. Why? Because you have to have a Sefer Torah. Some offices, some religious people have office space. So they have one room, that's miyuchad, they have a minyan for mincha ma'ariv. But they don't have a Sefer Torah. Someone it's a tonis, so they have to go to a shul nearby in order to daven. So according to Rav Soloveitchik, such a room would not have, according to the Ramban, it would have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses because miyuchad betfila. It helps us daven better. We concentrate better because that room, you know, we don't do any business there. We only daven there. But according to the Rambam, he said he had the impression that the Rambam holds that it wouldn't have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. The Pasuk says in today's Sedra that you have to have a paroches, v'hivdila paroches l'chabein ha-kodesh, v'hivdila kodesh ha-kodoshim. The purpose of the paroches is to separate between the heichal and the kodesh ha-kodoshim. There's a Mishnah at the end of the first perek in Chulin, I think, that when you have yantif, Shecholias b'matzoi Shabbos, so we recite Havdolah matzoi Shabbos when you're going down. If Yontov is on Erev Shabbos, then you go, Erev Shabbos is Yontov, then come Shabbos, you go a higher level. So you go a higher level, you don't say Havdolah. You only say Havdolah when you go down from Yontov to Chol HaMoed, or Yontov to Chol. But when you go from Shabbos to Yontov, then you're going down a level, because Kedushas Yontov is lower than Kedusha Shabbos. So the Mishnah has the Nusach HaHavdolah, so the Avodah is a Sefer that was dedicated based on the premise, based on the assumption that the Nusach HaTfilah has to be in Biblical Hebrew. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shultz, disagrees with the whole premise of the whole Sefer. He thinks he has a right from the Sugi and Ketzim Avorchin, the Gemara that talks about Bar Minim Zonis, that the brachas don't have to be in Biblical Hebrew. But many assume like that. They quote from the Vilna Gaon, the Maral Miprag, the Taz quotes the Maral Miprag. Many assume like the premise of the Avodah, that all the brachas and all the tefillahs have to be in a Biblical Hebrew. So the Avodah raises the question, the bracha that you say when you say Havdalah, going from Yontif, when you go from Shabbos to Yontif, Hamavdim, in Kodesh to Kodesh, where do you have such a nusach in Tanakh? So he says, the pasuk in Tere said, "V'hevdila parachas lachem bein hakodesh, v'en kodesh hakadoshim." It's an important concept. The Gemara has a lashon: "Lo charva Yerushalayim elo al shehishvu katan kigadol." Not all the rabbis are on the same level. Some rabbis, when you have a machlokes, it's not everybody has one vote. Some people have 10 votes. Some people will have a half a vote. Not everybody has the same vote. That's what they say. The Rebbitz Kohanan originally gave a haskama to the Munkach's Darkei Tshuva. And then when it was published, they had Charata. They say this, that Rabbi Ruderman said this over, that Rebbitz Kohanan was unhappy the way the Darkei Tshuva came out, because he quotes the Divrei Chaim says something, and another rabbi says something. The other rabbi, how does he compare to the Divrei Chaim? So you say, oh, it's a machlokes achrayim. So there's room to negotiate over here. It's not exactly the same. Not everybody is entitled to the same degree of an opinion over here. Some are entitled to 10 votes, and some are entitled to a half a vote. It's not all the same. So that's the Gemara said. L'chor Yerushalayim el al shehishvu katan kigodol. They treated the lesser talmid chachamim on the same level as the greater talmid chachamim. It's not supposed to be like that. the parochas in the Beis HaMikdash had shatnas in it. There's no isa. Shatnas is an isa levisha and isa halo. There's no isa to have shatnas. The Gemara says, at the end of the first perik in Beitza, the Gemara says, vilain is usr. Vilain usr, what? What is it usr? So the pashup shat curtain, you're not allowed to make a curtain from shatnas, because sometimes, hashamish mischamim kenegna, sometimes someone in the house, in the family, one of the workers may be chilly, and he'll. The children know that the vilain is shatnas. All the people in the family know. So you don't, if it's cold in the house, there's no steam, so you don't wrap yourself in the curtains because the curtains are shatnas. But the shamish, mishamish is working there in the house, he may not realize that the vilain is shatnas. So they made a din with their abundant that you're not allowed to make a vilain shel shatnas. So in the Beis HaKnesses, it says in Yerideya, since the parochas has the status of tashmishi kedusha, so no one's allowed to parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh has the status of tashmishi kedusha, so no one's allowed to wrap themselves in it. So he permitted to make the parochas from shatnas. So they told me that today, if your shul will order a parochas from the company and you won't give them instructions what you want, they told me that 95% of the time they will put in shatnas, because that was a practice in Europe. They made a zecha l'migdash, they would put in shatnas in every parochas. Yes. So this din in the Gemara that the parochas has the status of tashmishi kedusha, the Gemara asked Akasha why. The Aron Kodesh is tashmishi kedusha because it houses the Sefer Torah. But the parochas is to be mishamish, the Aron Kodesh, which in turn is mishamish, the Sefer Torah. So that should be tashmish the tashmish. The Gemara has a klal, Gufi Kedusha, the Sefer Torah itself has Kedusha. The Mentala is Tashmishi Kedusha, or the Aron Kodesh is Tashmishi Kedusha. But the Parechas in front of the Aron Kodesh, that's twice removed, that's Tashmish, and Tashmish should not have Kedusha. So the Gemara asks, why do we assume in the days of the Gemara that the Parechas has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha? So the Gemara says, because they used to do Kavua, they had a practice, when they would take out the Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah, they would take down the Parechas and put it on the Shulchan, and then they would put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the parochas. So, and they did this kavua, not just b'ikroi b'alma. But then it says in Yeridei, we don't do that, bismanas. The parochas are attached in such a way, a lot of times it's not easy to take it down. When there's no mentale, when there's no mapa on the shulchan, so someone will usually put his talis there. The talis doesn't become a tashmishi kedusha just because chad pa'mi, once you put it on the shulchan, in order to put the Sefer Torah on it, it only becomes a Tashmishi Kedusha if he designated Kavua permanently like that. So Bizman HaZeh, we never take down the Parochas. So that's what the Poskim say, that today the Parochas does not have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. We go back to what the Gemara said it should have been. It's a Tashmish to Tashmish. So that's why in Europe there was a common practice that they would use for a chuppah, they would use the Parochas in the shul for a chuppah, so they would put four poles in the four corners and have a chuppah. There are different opinions what the chuppah is supposed to represent. So some achranim say that it's based on a farasta kanafecha ala masecha, that they used to put a talis on the chosen kala. But today, you can't always put a talis. You set a wedding date months in advance, and sometimes the girl can't go to mikveh before. So how can you put a talis and they should both be leaning on each other under the talis? So that's why many communities discontinued that practice. By the Sfardim and by the Yekas, they still have that they pull the talis. They once asked Rabbi Schwab, how can it be that the kala always goes to mikveh before? Sometimes you can't go to mikveh. How can they always put a talis on the chaskal? He said that it never happened. Never happened that the kala didn't go to mikveh. How can it be it never happened? I don't know. So instead of having the talis on top of the chosen kala, that's one opinion that constitutes nisu. And we know what kedushin is. We mekadosh bekesef, kesef shtar and bia. And the Rambam says, "Kano gosar lekadosh bekesef." How do you know nisu? So there are different opinions. So many had the position. Many rishonim held for us to kanafecha l'masecha. So they say that if you use a cloth, if you use a chuppah that has cloth in the middle, so that's for us the kind of hechalah masach yotze with that. Now a lot of people don't have cloth; they have some other kind of material for the top of the chuppah. So they're assuming, like other achrayim, that it's not based at all. The chuppah is not based at all for us to kanafech al hamasech. It's rather a tzuris ha-pesach, like for Shabbos purposes, when you have economy kam, economy kam, economy al gabayim. So that room, the cheder ha-chuppah, is hachnasa l'rishuso. Like they went, like the Rambam holds, you have to have yichud haroi l'biyah. So that's what we have after the chuppah. After the chuppah, they go to the yichud room. And the Magen Avraham quotes from the Tshuva Sabel Yemizrachi, they shouldn't pause too long. They should rush the chasam kala to the yichud room, which the photographers don't let you do, and the musicians don't let you do, and the bochrim from the yeshiva don't let you do. They dance so much, they don't let the chasam kala go directly to the yichud room. Magen Avraham quotes like that. You shouldn't pause too long in between the birchas nisuin and the yichud, because we want to satisfy the shita saramam, that the yichud has to be yichud aroy lebiya. But others hold just hachnasa l'rishuso. So the room where the chuppah takes place, that under the chuppah, that constitutes a cheder bifnei atzmai, because you have a tzuras ha-pesach. So in Europe, they used to use the parochas. So some of the achrayim complain that they used to have four metal rings in the four corners of the rectangular shape of the parochas, and they would put the reason why they had rings was in order to put the top of the wooden pole in the ring, so it should hold on top. So some of the poskim pointed out, if it's supposed to constitute a tzuras ha-pesach, so the Gemara says tzuras ha-pesach, and the Gemara says in Erevin, tzuras ha-pesach shasom min atzad is no good. If you have four poles and you tie a string around, and you tie the string around the other one, that's not called the tzuras ha-pesach, it's al-gabeim. It's kana mikana 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 mikana, al-gabeim has to be on top. So that's what they complain, that when you have the ring around the pole, and then the parochas is a quarter of an inch away from the pole. It's not on top of the pole. So there's no kon al gabeim. So that's why some of the old parochas used to have a diagonal slit in the four corners, and they would put the pole directly below the parochas. So there would be cloth that would be going. So you don't need the cloth in the middle. You can have an empty hole. If the whole idea of the chup is a farastik kanatach lamasecha, then it should be cloth in the middle. Then the poles are just to hold it up. But the main thing is that it should be cloth material. But if it's based on tzuras ha-pesach, so you can have a hole in the middle. You don't really need the cloth in the middle. What you need is that it should be kanamikamikamikamikam al gabeim. So when you look on the side of the big Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra and that siman about the chuppah, so I think the Ezer Mikodesh has a running commentary from the B'chot Sherav. He points this out, that it's not a kon al gabeim, and you have an issue. Some are makbid, some achrenim are makbid, you're still not allowed, even though the parochas does not have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, because we no longer have the practice of taking it down and using it on top of the Shulchan to put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it. We never do that. But still, it's part of the furniture of the Beis HaKnesses. So everything in the Beis HaKnesses has a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, so you shouldn't really use it for other purposes. The Samachrenim HaMak, but you should not use the Parochas for the Chuppah. Some are makbid like that. But that was a very common practice in Europe. So that's what the later post can write, that it's not really proper, even though it's highly unlikely that anyone is going to wrap himself in the parochas if he's chilly. It's just not going to happen. But still, since strictly speaking, the parochas does not have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha Bizman Hazeh, it's twice removed from the Sefer Torah. The parochas is Meshamish, the Yaron Kodesh, which in turn is Meshamish, the Sefer Torah. So since, strictly speaking, it's mutter to wrap yourself in the parochas to keep warm, so it's not really right that we should allow them to make it from Shatna. So if a shul is ordering that they should make a new parochas, they should order that they should make sure there shouldn't have any Shatna in it. When the Mishkan...
How are we magdir being Mishanish, the Sefer Torah? The Aron Kodesh nowadays doesn't touch the cloth at all. It only touches the Atzei Chaim and the mantle. So it's only touching the Tashmishi Kedusha itself.
Not touching, but it's protecting the Sefer Torah. And Achanam is not touching with the whole role, the whole purpose of the Aron Kodesh is to protect, to give cover to the whole Sefer Torah, not just to the Eitz Chaim. Yeah. the Midbar, they had to have, the whole plan was that they were going to be Membeis Masoes. They traveled from one, the beginning of Parshat Masoes, they traveled from one location to the other, to the other, to the other. So the Mishkan had to be constructed in such a way that it's shaykh to travel. So it was made from Krushim and Adonim, and they could take everything apart. And Urias, everything was could be taken apart. Once they came to the Beis Olamim, that's the permanent residence of the Shechina and Olam Hazeh, so then you no longer have the Dinim from the Krushim and Adonim and so on. It doesn't have to be prepared for traveling. The Gemara points out that you have, you see, when we daven in the shul, so we look straight ahead, so it's Mizrach, because we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael. So the shul, where they have the Aron Kodesh in the right direction, it's a Mizrach. So if that's Mizrach, so to the our right is going to be Dorim. So on Chanukah, we put the menorah b'dorim, but in the Beis HaMikdash, when you look straight ahead to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Echel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's Myriv. So Dorim is going to be the left side. So the menorah was Bedorim, and the Shulchan was Betzofen. The Smegdash, the Shulchan was Betzofen. So the Gemara says that when you daven, you face Eretz Yisrael. But Harotzo Sheyachkim, if a person wants to be successful in learning, so the Gemara says Yadrib, he should face Dorim. Doesn't mean face Dorm. He's supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. I mean, he should tilt a little bit to Dorm. And Rotzo Sheyashir, the Shulchan represents Ashiris. So Rotzo Sheyashir, Yatzpin, he should tilt a little bit to the north. So in Hungary, in many communities, the Achronim write that the meaning used to be that the Shul, the Aron Kodesh would be facing Mizrach, because it's to the west of Eretz Yisrael. Aron Kodesh would face Mizrach. Then we were davening in Russia. So we were davening south. We were facing south because Moscow is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. But most of the places in Europe, when they daven, they faced east. So if you're facing east, so I sit on the left side of the Aron Kodesh, and the Rosh HaKol was usually a wealthy balabas sit to the right. So the Rosh HaKol is an Ashir, and he wants to be wealthier. So he would tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh. I wrote to Sheyashir Yatzpin. And the rabbi would sit on the left side of the Aron Kodesh. So when he would daven Shemana Esrei, he would tilt a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh. That's because I wrote to Sheyachkim Yadrim. He would face a little bit to the dorm because the rabbi wants to be more successful in learning. I remember there used to be a Rabbi Lieberman, an old Rabbi Lieberman, passed away a long time ago. His son used to be my roommate in the Meir Yeshiva in Brooklyn when I learned there in the summertime. So this Rabbi Lieberman from Richmond, Virginia, I think, so he made a comment on this Gemara. What do you mean? All the universities are in the north and all the multimillionaires of the plantation owners are in the south. So everything is fakert in America. It should be Harosh Sheyashir should face the south and Harosh Sheyachkim should face the north. But the Gemara is saying it based on the Beis HaMikdash, that the Shulchan was, the menorah represents Chochmas HaTorah. So the menorah was Bedorim and the Shulchan was Betzofen. The Kruvim were on top of the Kapyrus, which was on top of the Oren, and the Kruvim were two, baby-faced, one looked like a boy, one looked like a little girl, children, and the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Malachim says, the Kruvim were hugging each other, Kemar Ish B'Liv Yosa, like a husband hugs his wife. They represent the Chiba and the Ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. And the Gemara says, when the oil of the golden would come, my shoulders would go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk, Shalosh Pamashana Yeroi calls the Churcha, Yeroi, we should appear. So the Gemara has a drush on the first daf in Chagiga. Yirei Yeroa, Kederch Sheba Leiros, Kach Ba Leiros. Just like we come to appear that the Shekhinah should look at us, so do we come to see the Shekhinah. How can you see the Shekhinah? The Baruch Shalom is invisible. So the Stechemed used to correspond with all the different Rabbonim in Europe because he was a Sfardi. He was, I think, was born in Eretz Yisrael. He got a Rabbonim somewhere in the Hori Choshech and in Uzbekistan or something like that, somewhere in Russia. And they had different minhagim he never heard of. So he used to correspond with all the Rabbonim and he put out a whole encyclopedia. Has all of the letters of the correspondence there. So he has a letter from Shlomo Levilner. Commenting on this Gemara, the end of Chagiga, that when the Oil of Golem would come in the Bais Rishon period, when the Orem was still in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, above the ground, so they would roll up the Paroiches. The Gemara said, how can you roll up the Paroiches in the Bais Rishon period? It was an Amatraxon, it was a wall, a solid wall, that was an Amatix. So you can't roll a wall, you can only roll a curtain. So the Gemara says the wall had windows in it and the windows had curtains. So they would roll up the curtain in the window and show the Oli Rigolim, Ruchi Baschim Lefnei HaMakom Ruk, the Kruvim are hugging each other, Kemarish V'Lev Yosef, that represents the Chiba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Bnei Yisrael. So where did they get this idea from? And then they would pick up the Shulchan and squeeze the Lechem upon it to show a miracle, Lechem Cham Kiyom Hilokchoi, that the 12 Lechem Aponim, the 12 chalas of Lechem Aponim would sit on, they were baked on Thursday, they're baked on Friday, unless Friday is Yontov, then they baked on Thursday, and if Thursday and Friday is Rosh Hashanah, then they would bake it on Wednesday. They would put the Lechem Aponim, and they were 2 days Rosh Hashanah, even in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what it says in the Mishnahs, sometimes. And then they would put the lechem upon him on the shulchan on Shabbos morning. It would sit there for a whole week. So at the end of the week, it should be hard like a rock. It should be stale. So they would lift up during the Bais Rishon period, they would lift up the curtain from the window in the amatraxon in the thick wall that was an amatik, and they would to show the kruvim hugging each other. And then they would show the people that would lift up the shulchan and squeeze the lechem upon him to show that it's fresh, that it was still warm. A miracle occurred. It was still warm at the end of the week. Kiyom hilokcha, like when they took it out of the oven. So where did they get this idea from? Show and tell, that they should show the tzibur, all the other regalim, the crew are hugging each other, and the lechem upon him. So Rav Shlomo Levilner thinks that it's based on the drosha of the Torah Shabbat Peh Yirei Yeroi. Even in the Bais Rishon, they had that drosha. That wasn't that drosha that was instituted in Bais Sheni only. They had that drosha in the Bais Rishon. Yirei Yeroi, that they came to see. Also, what are you going to see? The Ribbono Shel Olam is invisible. So they showed them that one of the nisim, lechem aponim, is still fresh. And they showed them the kruvim hugging each other. So that's what they came to see. The Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva has a comment on the nusach habracha that you say by a wedding. So the Rosh in the beginning of Ksubis, in the first parak in Ksubis, raises the question, why do you say bracha b'tzivano alhu arroyas? HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us not to marry the prohibited relatives. You never say a bracha if you're about to shave. You say a bracha shekadoshanim sasvanu shalol legalech betar. Or if you're about to eat kosher food, you say a bracha shekadoshanim sasvanu shalol lechem macholas asuras. Why do you say over here? You say a bracha over the gili arayas. So the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva says the pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to hug our wives. Kemar ish v'lev yasa, like the expression says that they prove him. It says in Sefer Melachim, Kemar ish v'lev yasa, like a husband hugging his wife. Sivano al ha'arayas means HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us we should give our wives a hug once in a while. You have to demonstrate chiba for your wife. Yeah, this week is Parsha Zohar. There's one of the Jewish philosophers from the Middle Ages has a line, Ha'over Ayin, the past is gone, Ve'osad Adayin, the future is not here yet, Ve'hove Keheref Ayin, the present is only the blink of an eye, Dogamin Ayin, so why should you be worried? Why should you be aggravated about anything? Why should you have to be worried? The present is only a moment in time. So Rav Soloveitchik, in several of his published essays, quotes that line, And he says that's not the Jewish attitude. We feel, how long does a person live? 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years old. How long they live already? We want to extend our lives. So we want to live in the past, in the present, and in the future. The Rishayim say, let's eat and drink and be merry. We're going to die tomorrow. Let's enjoy life today. But the tzaddikim don't have that attitude. The tzaddikim want to extend their lives. So we have Zohar, Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and Zechiris Amalek. Our religion insists we should remember the past. We should try to live in the past and live in the future. We talk a lot about Avram Yitzchak and Yankov, and about the Shvatim, and about the Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lozim and Azarian, about the Ramam and the Ravid. And we talk about the Melech HaMashiach, and we talk about Eliyahu Novi is going to come. So one of the thinkers in Eretz Yisrael, I don't think he's alive anymore, I forgot his name. So they used to quote him in the New York Times, if he's a big philosopher, he used to say silly things. So he said, we don't need the Harabayas. What do we need that for? That's it. Didn't believe in mitzvahs. I'll go to give it away to the Palestinians. Give it away to Palestinians. I'll have to show my passport. If I'm interested, I'll show my passport. I'll go to a different. That's the past. Forget about it. What are you hacking me about Avram Yitzchak? What are you hacking about Moshiach and Eliyahu Novi? I want to live today. I want to enjoy life today. I don't care about the past. I don't care about the future. So that's what the Chazal say. Mishein lo banim chashiv kemeis. If a person only has a past and a present, he doesn't have a future, he doesn't have children, it's like a mace because he can't extend his life. We want to extend our life as much as possible. The Jews try to live in the past and in the future. All of Klal Yisrael, one big unit. The expression appears, Timcha Zech HaMolik Mitachas HaShamayim. Why Mitachas HaShamayim? So Rav Kook has in one of his essays, it could be it's a line in a Midrashim or a Zohar somewhere, I'm not familiar, but he writes, Aloshim, mitachas hashamayim, lo mi'al hashamayim. From our perspective, mitachas hashamayim, from our human perspective, Amalek is ra. But from the Rebbe Shlom's perspective, kol ma'adav rachmona l'tav avid, everything is l'tav. So this is what the Gemara has a comment, b'nei banav shal Haman, lom d'tar b'nei brak, that even though Haman was a terrible thing. Haman Amaleki, the pasuk calls him an Amaleki. But nonetheless, it was also the Taiva. So from our perspective, Haman is Ra. But from the Rebbe Shlom's perspective, everything in the world is really the Taiva. Different perspective. I remember when I was in high school, the Rebbe made a comment, Penach Fishman was my Rebbe for 1 year, made a comment on the pasuk in the Haftorah. It says, Shoal is finally moide to Shmuel HaNavi that he did wrong, that he let Agag remain alive, and he allowed the people to keep Meitav Hatzon v'Habokar. He was told they should kill all the behemoths, and he didn't. So he says, he fulfilled the nevuah. He took care of Amalek, and then he finally, so Shmuel HaNavi asked him, Me kol Hatzon hazeh shebi ozna b'ra'ayeh the sheep, making noise, so he finally admits that he violated. So he says, Kavati espi Hashem es devarecha. Why the kefal lashon? So I remember the Rebbe suggested, Kavati espi Hashem, I let Agag remain alive. That's the real din. That's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, din l'doris. Es devarecha, I violated the hayruah shoah of the Navi that are supposed to kill the animals. I think there's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mechilta, whether the din that Shmuel HaNavi told Shaul HaMelech, you have to kill the behemoths. Was that a Hayra Shah? Was that a Din Ladur? So the Rebbe was suggesting, if you're all like that Tana, that it's only Hayra Shah, then you understand very well the Lashon. Ki'avati espi Hashem esdverach. I violated the Din Laraisa. He also violated the Din, the Hayra Shah. It's not a Din Ladur, so it was only intended as a Hayra Shah. I remember when I was a little boy, a few years before my bar mitzvah, so my father had a... I was staying by my grandparents in New York, and my family lived in Philadelphia. My father, and I was always complaining about my grandmother's cooking. I was always making fun of the way she spoke Yiddish. So every couple of weeks, my father had to come. I was a little baby. So every couple of weeks, my father had to come to New York and take me back home to Philadelphia. So once he was going to take me back on a Thursday night, I was going to miss school on Sunday, Friday and Sunday. But Rabbi Soloveitchik was speaking that Sunday night for the Mizrahi. So he didn't want to miss that. And if he would come pick me up by my grandparents, where I was staying, pick me up after Rav Soloveitchik would finish, so we would miss the last bus. The buses didn't go all night long. So he had to pick me up before, and he took me to hear Rav Soloveitchik speak, and then we went to the bus station. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik spoke at that time. The issue was whether the German government was offering reparations money to Medina Israel. So there was an issue in the Knesset whether it's proper to accept reparations money. We're going to convey the mistaken impression as if everything is forgiven. They killed millions and millions and millions of Jews. Now they say they killed 6 million Jews. When I was a little boy, right after the war, they said I was born in the middle of the war. So right after the war, they said that they killed 9 million Jews. They killed 6 million Jews that they have records, that they kept records. Then they killed many more. He killed many more than 6 million Jews. Anyway, so that was the issue. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it wasn't proper. He was speaking for the Mizrahi. He thought it wasn't right. They shouldn't take the reparations money because you'll give them the mistaken impression as if all is forgiven. But he thought, al pi halachi, you're not allowed to take it. So he said a chiddush from his father that any nation, v'lo yori alekim, who are atheists, I think they said the Nazis were atheists. They weren't Christians. Any nation that's loyal elikim and adopts a policy to wipe out all the Jewish people, men, women, and children, they have a din of Amalek. Amalek is not necessarily those who are direct biological descendants of the original Amalekim, but any nation has such an attitude. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that this is a din l'doros. You're not allowed to take anything from Amalek, even to take back the money that they took away from you. You're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. So he said at that time they shouldn't take it. But then later on, the government did take the reparations money and they used it to pave the highways in Eretz Yisrael. So they said that Rav Soloveitchik made a comment in the later years, I wasn't there. He made a comment to the students in the yeshiva. Apparently he was wrong. Sometimes Hashgachim and Hashamayim paskins the shilas. So he says, the fact that the Israeli government needed it to pave the highways, maybe that shows that the din was, that it was mutter. Maybe his original psak was wrong. So that's what they told me from Rav Soloveitchik. The first thing I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, and then they told me that he backed out later. But then, 10 years later, they had in the newspapers that the Israeli government realized that the way they paved the highways was incorrect, so they had to rip up all the highways and do it all over again. So it turned out that the money all went down the drain. So maybe he was right. Maybe he was right. So when they printed this, so some of the Soloveitchiks in Eretz Israel didn't agree. So one of them, they printed in the name of one of the Soloveitchiks in Eretz Yisrael that the Rambam, I think, writes in the Mor Nebuchim, why does the Chumash tell you the genealogy of all of these Goyish nations? So the Rambam writes, because we have to wipe out Amalek, and Amalek are the biological descendants of the original Amalek. So you have to know who is Amalek. You have to know who are the biological descendants of Amalek. For the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim, it would appear that only the biological descendants, not any other person. So they printed this in one of the Torah journals in America, that one of the Soloveitchiks in Eretz Yisrael disagreed, that you can't say that the any nation who adopts as a policy to wipe out all the Jewish people has a din of Amalek. And then they added on that the Soloveitchik said, there's some things you're not allowed to, some things you're not, you're allowed to say, you're not allowed to print some things, you're allowed to think, you're not allowed to say, and some things they're not even allowed to think. So they said, this is utterly ridiculous to say that the Nazis have a din of Amalek, utterly ridiculous, and it's against the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim. So someone else from Muncie saw this, so he sent in a letter to the editor of a different Torah journal. He refers to what it said there, that it's utterly ridiculous to say the Nazis had a din of Amalek. So he says that the Talmidim of Rav Gusman put together, I think, two different volumes of collected ideas that they heard from Rav Gusman over the years, not in learning, shaychus to learn Torahic ideas. So they write in his name that he was once carrying on a conversation with Rav Chaim Oizer in the Bezna in Vilna. So apparently he asked Rav Chaim Oizer, what do you think about the Nazis? So he said, Rav Chaim Moshe said, I would tend to agree with the other Gedolim who feel that the Nazis have a din of Amalek. So he says, Rav Chaim Moshe said like that, not the Rabbi Soloveitchik from New York. Rav Chaim Moshe said like that, that he would tend to agree with the other Gedolim in the generation, felt that the Nazis had a din of Amalek. Anyway, We have to remember Amalek, and we have to. We shouldn't assume that it's the Rabbanu Shalom's world. Let him take care of it. He promised Mocha Emcha, but we have to do our share. Mocha Timcha Zech Amalek. We have an obligation to wipe out Amalek. Zohar has such a comment. Rav Soloveitchik quotes in one of his published essays that Zohar has a comment that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there's Tovah Vavu, so part of the and then he straightened everything out, and it was supposed to remove all the Tovah Vavu, but Amalek is part of the Tovah Vavu, and we have to complete the Bria. We have to become Shutvim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to complete the Bria, to remove Amalek, because they're part of the Tovah Vavu. There's a lot of Tovah Vavu now also. So we have to do our share to try to remove all the tovo. Okay. A good Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos. Rabbi, can I ask, we're putting up mezuzahs in the new shul, and an elevator. What does Rabbi hold about mezuzahs by the elevator?
I thought you need a mezuzah going out from the elevator onto the floor, on the right side going out.
Even on the first floor?
On the first floor, yeah, also, yeah.
Even though you use the elevator as a way to go into the second floor and the third floor.
Yeah, yeah. Even though there's no way, yeah. There are different klolim where you put the... How do you determine that you put the mezuzah on the right side? With the right side going which way? So the first klol, you always put menat poter al achiyuv. That's what Rabbi Kivega says. Let's say you have a tiny little walk-in closet. So the walk-in closet doesn't have dala on a dala, so you don't put the mezuzah going in. But then Rabbi Kevega writes on Yerida, you should put the mezuzah going out.
Right. But you don't see the elevator on the first floor as like a base shar to get to the second floor. It's just like an independent pater area.
Maybe it is a base shar, but it's mamish contiguous to the floor here. So here, this floor probably needs a mezuzah, no?
So the same base staircase? Base staircase you do from the... If you have a narrow staircase...
A staircase, does it have a tzuris ha-pesach? Is there a room?
I mean, in our shul it doesn't, but a lot of times, let's say by YU, they'll have I guess it's a room in its own right, by the clock-based medrash.
You have a stairwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where do you put the mezuzah there?
So on the first floor, you put it on the right side going into the stairwell, no?
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe you should put it this way. Did they use that lobby? Does the lobby have any over here? It's also just a beishar. The lobby over here is beishar. The stairwell is a beishar to upstairs, and the stairwell is and the whole lobby downstairs is a beishar. So which way? So you probably put it the way you walk. Probably put it on the right side. So it depends. Where is the elevator going from on the first floor? Right. What's in front of the elevator? A lobby that just people are just walking there.
Yeah.
Room that, a meeting room.
That's usually a lobby that people just walk through.
Just walk through. So it's also just a beishar. So either way, it's going to be just a mezuzah for a beishar that's leading to a different thing. So you probably put it derech halicha.
So then on the first floor on the right side in, and then on the second and third floor on the right side out.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi, thank you.
Good
Shabbos.